Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Sheffield Live. My name is Ian Okorimba, and we are the African Voices platform. On today's show, we'll be discussing a topic that touches the lives of millions of people across the UK. With my guest, Zainab Barry, we will delve into the intricate and often overlooked challenges of mental health and some of the issues that many face on a daily basis. We'll also highlight the support available to people and where to seek help if you're suffering from depression or any other mental health related illness. Hi, Zainab.
Hi, Enoch. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. Could you please introduce yourself to our radio listeners and TV viewers?
Yes, thank you so much. My name is Zainab Barry, as Enoch just introduced me. I was born and raised in Guinea, have an academic background in political science and international development. I founded Zainab Barry Consulting, which is a platform that offers coaching, mentoring, and leadership training and PPIE services. So PPIE stands for Public Patient Involvement and Engagement. I'm currently a visiting research fellow at King's College London within the Faculty of Life Science and Medicine, where I am also a PPIE coordinator and advocate for the No Recourse to Public Funds program. I am also a co-investigator on University of Oxford's DREAMED project, which stands for Defining, Recognizing, and Escalating Maternal Early Deterioration. And it is all about decreasing inequality through improved outcomes. I am an advocate of better maternal and mental health. And to that effect, I have collaborated with service users, academics, policymakers, and healthcare professionals from a range of backgrounds. In addition to co-publishing many academic articles, I am a blogger who is also keen on writing poems, and I am also the author of Lessons from Depression, which is the book that we'll be talking about today. I think that's me in a nutshell.
Fantastic, Zainab. Thank you so much for giving us that introduction. And I'm very sure many of our listeners and our viewers will be interested, you know, in knowing exactly what it is that we're about to talk about. I wanted us to really look into your personal journey. You know, what was your personal journey like? You know, where does it start? How along your journey, you know, obviously there would have been challenges. If you briefly would, you know, tell us a bit of the personal journey that maybe led you to do all these things that you've just described.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Enoch. I never thought that I'll be someone who will talk about mental health or maternal health. I did development, of course, as a master's degree, but not thinking specifically about mental health or maternal health. But I guess when I gave birth to my third child, I just experienced feelings that I had never recognized before. And obviously, being an African person, someone who was born and raised in Africa, I know that I was raised to be a strong person, you know, that stereotype, the strong black woman, the strong black man. So, you know that you have to go through challenges. You so somehow you do not recognize that you need to that you sometimes feel weak, you know, the weaknesses within you. So I felt a little bit low. There were symptoms that I didn't recognize. Actually, I only realized them after everything was done, you know. But I just felt isolated. I felt lonely, although there were people around me. So, you know, just that led me to, you know, gratefully talk about it to many, many family members and, you know, and friends as well, who knew who I was and encouraged me to keep going. But I just watched my life going as a spectator. I couldn't recognize myself. I kept saying, "This surely is not me." So, you know, just to keep just to cut it short there. So really that's what led me to then write a book, because I've always been you know, I've always liked writing. So I wrote a big manuscript on and it was all about my life from the beginning, from where I was, you know, from when I was born to now. It was a really big manuscript, but then within that manuscript there was a part about mental health, and I looked at it. I shared it to a, with a colleague who suggested that perhaps I should divide the manuscript, and that's where I thought that, you know, the depression bit, the bit about mental health deserves to be published as a one book, you know, one book that would help as many people as possible. So I think, in a nutshell, that's what led me to then, you know, get involved into the Maternity Voices partnerships and say, hey, you know, how can we change the maternity sector in the UK? Surely there are things that, you know, we can do to improve it. And then I just became someone who's down more into that sector than any other ones.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, if we had to talk about just, you know, just this personal journey alone, we could do another program just on the personal journey because
Indeed.
by the sound of it, you must have gone through a lot, really, you know, to the point that you wanted to, the lessons that you learned, you know, from the personal journey are what kickstarted your journey in writing the book. Actually, we can even just dive into that book, you know. Lessons from depression. I mean, if you could give us an insight of what this mindset came about, you know, when you sat down and started reflecting, started writing things down, you know, just depression alone is a big word. You know, when we talk about depression, some people do understand it in many ways. You know, sometimes you'd have a bad day and you turn around, oh, I'm so depressed, you know. So we've been playing around with this depression term so loosely that many people don't really understand what depression is about. But then it's, you know, it's driven you to write a book, you know, and this book has given us some lessons from it, you know. What can you tell us, you know, what is the deepest insight from this book?
Okay, that's a very good question. Thank you. I think the book, I had to write this book because I think depression comes with heaviness, and you feel the need to become lighter. So I felt that, you know, I needed to put that into paper. You know, all the ideas that I had and everything that I went through, I wanted to put that, you know, on a piece of paper, just write it down. And once I did, even before I published it, I felt so light. And I felt that this was the right thing to do, because even as a child, you know, I had my diary. I would write what I did throughout the day and, you know, what will I might do tomorrow, you know, God willing. So it felt lighter to do so. But this book is about hope. It's about optimism. It's about being embracing a positive mindset, because these are the lessons that I've learned. I've learned that, you know, kindness is out there. I've learned that when you're going through challenges, you know, don't just look at that specific moment in time, but also try to be optimistic, have faith within you, and hold on to the idea that one day you will go beyond that, you know, you'll go beyond those challenges, you'll ride through them and see brighter days in the future. And so, you know, this book, I hope, you know, would help many people who are going through challenges to remember that, you know, challenges are not always permanent. It's okay to sometimes pause and reflect in order to identify practical solutions. You know, although I'm not a medical expert on mental health, I believe that my lived experience is very, very worth sharing. And I encourage people to share their stories, because the more we share our stories, the more we'll dismantle so many, you know, issues that are seen as taboo. And I'm sure we talk about the tabooness of mental health in our societies. You know, and I kept the book very concise and very, very, you know, concise and short with specific simplified language, because I know that when I was going through it, I used to read, but I did not want any complicated books. I just wanted something to tell me that, you know, everything will be okay. I read so many self-help books, and, you know, they motivated me, you know, along with my faith that I hold on to. I'm a practicing Muslim, that, you know, one day things will be okay. And it's okay to tell that to yourself. You know, life is filled with challenges. There are happy moments and sad moments. And we are in this thing called life to live through it with lessons, and you know, we continue in that journey. So really, yeah, I think that the one of the biggest lessons that I wanted to share is the one that is linked with hope and optimism and in holding on to your faith. I hope that answers your question.
No, that's, I think you've gone over and beyond, you know, in trying to answer this question. But also, I had an opportunity to read through that book as well. And to be honest, you know, when I look into that book and I read through it, you know, many things caught my attention, you know, and was a very, very good read. And obviously, you read a book and you look yourself into that book, you know, you reflect you in that book in many ways, you know, but also they are coping strategies, you know, when it comes to depression. Depression, you know, like I said, as we understand it, we tend to really brush it aside, and that's because we don't understand what depression is. I might have a bad day from work or from any activities, and I would call it depression. Oh, I'm so depressed. But it was just a bad day. You know, I might go through a bit of a challenge, you know. I'm not going to really start branding myself as depressed because I had a challenging day. Do you know what I mean? So what are the strategies you would, you know, if someone was depressed, you know, and we know there's depression, there's clinical depression, you know, but obviously we won't never want to kind of like go to that side of the clinical depression bit because it's too deep, it's too big. But when, you know, people are depressed, what are the coping strategies? You know, what are the things that people can do in terms of managing? You know, we know how to manage, we've been told how to manage stress, you know. Stress management, stress, you know, how do you cope with stress and things like that? But how do you deal with depression in terms of managing? You know, how do you manage depression?
Thank you, Enoch. I think there are many, many strategies out there. But what I would like to highlight first is that there are no specific strategies that work for everyone. So it's important to make sure that they are relevant to specific situations or people's needs and preferences. You know, that's very important. But for me, I found that reading helped. Reading helped me a lot because it allowed me to look at the world through different perspectives. And it allowed me, if you will, to escape, you know, what I was in. Because sometimes what we forget is that this mind, you know, it can be so heavy with thoughts that those thoughts, if you're not careful, they can lead us into a very, very dark journey. Dark route. So when you read, you go somewhere else. You travel from where you are, from the sofa or from the bed or from your chair. You are reading, but you are really, your mind is traveling, is going to places, and that really helped me. What also helped was going to parks, ensuring that I went to like safe parks, like looking at the greenery and those spectacular environments that I was in, just looking at the rivers just flow. That helped me as well. Breathing fresh air and practicing intentional breathing. So really inhaling and exhaling deeply to fill the lungs with fresh air. I found that also was very, very helpful. But what really, really helped as well was that I realized that it was important for me to recognize my limitations. So as human beings, sometimes we tend to think that, we are perfect. Or we know that we are not perfect, but we always aim for perfection, but we forget that we'll never get there. And so it's important to remember that we are limited as humans and that, we need to aim to develop every day, to strive to be better every day, but we need to realize that we are limited. So our humanness is important to embrace. It's also important to embrace vulnerability as we do that. And what I mean by that is to recognize that we are simply human beings. We cannot do everything. Sometimes we will win, other times we lose. Sometimes we can be happy, other times, we have to be sad. And that's just the reality of things. And we have to accept that humanness, our humanity and our humanness, which has two different things. Also seeking help. Seeking help, I know, is easier said than done, because it takes a lot of courage and it's a topic that is seen as taboo. One cannot always be comfortable sharing that, I'm feeling differently today. I'm feeling weak. When you are perceived as being strong, you don't want to change that. But I think it helps. It helps to seek help. It really does. Look at your support network. Ensure that they are people who will, guide you to the straight path, or guide you to the way that, will take you out of whatever you are in. Seek professional help. Find a safe and supportive network. It's very important. Not just a supportive network, but also ensure that there's psychological safety within that you won't just share your feelings and, feel even worse than you were, but, a network that would support you and in which you feel safe. Also found that doing things that you're passionate about helps. For me, what I was passionate about was, writing, reading, and spending time with my family, going to parks, as I said. And also, embracing a positive mindset. And I can't stop reiterating this, because that's where depression can hit you hard if you're not careful. If you always think about negative things, it can be very dangerous. So it's good to embrace that positive mindset and picture brighter days, as I said before. Thank you.
Absolutely fantastic. Honestly, you could have answered it in a better way than this. Again, you made a good point there. It's not one size fits all. So every person has a way to cope, and manage whatever conditions they're going through. But emphasizing the need to see medical professionals is also very important, I suppose, and talking to your loved ones, because many a times when people are depressed, they shut themselves away from everything. They don't want to talk, they don't want to share how they feel. So really very important in terms of, talking to someone, who's more closer to you, because sometimes you might have family members that are not, as close as everyone else. So you might choose a mom or your sister, your brother. Do you know what I mean? So I definitely understand what you mean. And I'm just hoping that our listeners and our viewers do, kind of like can reflect on this as well. Speaking of the coping strategies, as we've just discussed this, there's also a problem of stigma and awareness. And There is a stigma, that comes with anything, but more particular, mental health. And we know depression is under that banner of mental health. But more so, there can be a lack of awareness sometimes. Like I said earlier on when we started this program, awareness can be anything, but I want to base this lack of awareness or the awareness that doesn't reach far, but also that comes with that stigma within the African people of African descent. I mean, how would you address this? Because you went through it, you've seen people that have gone through it. We all have people or know people that have gone through, these challenging times in their lives. But being, I think you did touch on the aspect of being strong. And that's the notion within our communities. Oh, no, there's actually, I've had somebody say there's no depression in the African context. So I just want you to elaborate on that, try to give us, an understanding of what it is, when it comes to depression. Because I understand. We all understand it in different ways, but more so, from the African context, what should people be looking out for?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Enoch. Yes, I mean, definitely people talk about the fact that there isn't such thing as depression in the African context, as you just kindly shared just now. And I find that very interesting and also very, it can be worrying because I was in that state once, and these were the sight or the perceptions that kept me in a very, very difficult, position because I felt that, come on, you're African. Yeah, you that's nothing. You don't have an illness, you don't have anything, you're just depressed. That's fine. That's that I don't even think I framed it as depression. You're just not feeling well. And it took courage to even pick up the phone and call. To say things, I was just saying things. I didn't even know what I was saying. I was just telling people, look at me, look at my life. So, but people that know me that I could trust as well, and they helped. So mental health is taboo in our societies. And, and I do some podcasting as well. And in my podcast, I spoke with a lady recently, and I was saying that, for example, in my culture, in the Fulani culture in Guinea, I don't think we have a word for depression in Pula. Again, if people who speak better Pula than me can correct me if I'm wrong, but and then so the lady and I, we discussed the fact that maybe it's because, in the society that we lived in before, maybe not now, maybe there was no need for that, or maybe because the community is so strong, people did not feel so lonely, or that the other symptoms were not as apparent. I don't know, but I think that now there is definitely such a thing as depression, and it's palpable, and we can see it. So, but it takes courage to talk about it. So we have societies that are very conservative sometimes, and it's difficult to share because sometimes when you do, it's as if I think they will interpret that as you've lost your mind, or it's more than just simple, it's more than just depression, but it's actually you need to be sectioned, and that's how they see mental health, not other things. So it's definitely not understood. We need to change the narrative. We need to ensure that people talk more about mental health, even at policy level, at governmental levels. And I'm hopeful because, for example, in Guinea, I see people talking about it now. And in Senegal too, there's an organization called Talk to Me, and they're advocating for the prioritization of mental health in policy making procedures. And here in the UK are organizations like Five Times More, who specifically talk about, maternal health and Black people, but also they do also talk about mental health. And there's a motherhood group and many others. So I am hopeful. I see people, talking about it a lot more, but it's important to recognize the heaviness of mental health in our cultures, in our, in our, in the African, Afro-Caribbean settings. We need to try to find solutions that are adapted to our realities in order to that to in, and in order to do that, we need to talk about it. We need to share our stories. We need to have psychologically safe spaces for people to come and express what they're really feeling. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for that. And we also know the impact, the impact of depression or the impact of what people go through. We see this as many a times people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to seek help, talk to professionals. And with all this, there is a huge impact. What are the major impacts would you say that, are very prevalent within our communities, just along this issue of depression? What impact does it have?
Thank you. I think definitely again about isolation. So you feel isolated because you don't have as many opportunities as you would have wished, to share how you feel. And so when you don't do that, it's difficult to identify, peer support network, where you will actually speak to people who are going through the same thing as you are and who understand also your needs, your cultural backgrounds. So if those spaces are not available, you become lonely, and that's scary in a sense. It becomes heavier. Not only you have the condition, but also there's not the stigma attached to it, and then the society's expectations of you and how you should behave and what you should say or not. All of those things, all of those elements, add to the heaviness of mental health then. And we can also add the difficulty to even recognize what it is. As I told you, I just felt different, but I didn't know that. I to some extent, I even refused to admit that I was going through something like that, because as far as I'm concerned, in my family, I've never heard anyone talk about it. And I just thought, maybe I'm not a good mom, or maybe I'm just so weak, or maybe, and you even hear people saying, oh no, it's just being so privileged to even think that you have, mental health. You have the time to do that. Come on, that's just not a real illness. That's nothing, And you hear that, and you also say, yeah, maybe they're right. Let me just, just not focus on that. But you cannot not focus on it because it's happening to you. You are stuck. You feel exhausted. You feel mentally and physically exhausted. The hardest thing to do as a human being is to fight against yourself. And that's very, and I talk about it in the book. It's tough because you cannot escape yourself. And so you are faced with a challenge that you have to address. There's no option. There's no, I'll put it into, to another day. I'll deal with it later. You have to deal it now. And now. And that's what mental health does. You cannot opt for, just keeping quiet, because once you do, it becomes worse. And so it's important to have those, safe spaces to express your feelings. And to have that supportive network as well. You feel like you are stuck if you don't, and you sometimes feel like you are definitely not good enough. And once you start thinking like that, you definitely need someone who will reassure you that you are a good person, someone who will tell you that other people have felt that way, and that is it's an illness, and but it's okay. There are coping mechanisms, and it's easier, if you share your feelings, and that way we'll just, they'll just help you to solve it, because the negative feelings, the negative thoughts, they can be very, very damaging. They have very, very damaging effects on human health. Yeah, I think in a nutshell, that will be my answer. Thank you, Enoch.
I thank you so much for that. Also coming back to the book, There is, various chapters, and I definitely have my favorite chapter. Among all those chapters, what chapter would you say resonates, with the interest that led you to actually think, yeah, this is my chapter within this book, but also it's one of those drives that led me to writing this book. Is there any particular chapters that you
Yes.
feel, drove you to write the book?
Yes, I think my favorite chapter there is the one about depression being a gift. So depression is a gift. Because that's
That was
because
my chapter.
oh, okay.
That
I was really pleased to know that.
was my chapter, so you need to choose another chapter.
No, that's our chapter
Go
then.
ahead. Yes, it's fine.
So that's because it really englobes everything that I talk about in the book. So it's a gift. It's a gift that helps you recognize that other people are kind. It's a gift that helps you recognize that, mental health is taboo, so you can do something about it. So really, it relates to all other chapters in the book. It's a gift that tells you that, it's not your fault. That's also another chapter of the book because, when you are in that situation, in that condition, you sometimes really blame yourself and you think, oh no, I am definitely not a good person. I did this, I caused that, but it's an illness, it's not your fault. And then for me, that chapter really is an opportunity to reflect. It's an opportunity to rediscover yourself. You rediscover yourself and then you recover. Because there are aspects of you that are perhaps hidden that you'd only find out, at least in my case, that I only found out after I went through it. It made me more assertive. It made me more understanding that that human beings are just humans. I used to say that, but on a deeper level now, I really understand it. It helps you to face your fears and your challenges. I was one of those people who would not speak in front of someone. I was definitely, not someone who will do public speaking a lot, but after that, I just joined a public speaking organization, and from there, I just started chairing meetings, and now I have my own podcast, and I'm still, a human, but I've faced my fears, and I enjoy and I relish. Facing those challenges because they make life less boring for me. And depression is a gift also because it helps you to develop and continue growing. You're not just stuck in one place. You rediscover yourself and then you identify your objectives and then you realign them again with, your reality. You become more practical, more pragmatic, and you reassess yourself generally. And I also think that it's like doing your homework. It's like you've been given homework and now you can't postpone it anymore. The deadline is here. You have no option, no extenuating circumstances, nothing. You have to do it. And once you take all the efforts that it, takes and the energy that it takes to do the homework, trust me, you will feel lighter. You feel lighter. Thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah, depression is a gift. When someone reads this, it kind of like dazzles you up, for a bit to understand how can depression be a gift. You've absolutely hit the nail on the head. And it is obviously through hard times, there comes ease. And that's, the beauty of, such situations. It might be a challenge. Along the line, there will be solutions, there'll be light at the end of the tunnel. Looking back, on this whole notion of depression, what would you say, oh, have you encountered any disparities between the older generation and the younger generation in how they understand depression or even how they manage it? Is there things you would perhaps not, when it comes to the older generation and the young people. I think my perspective, I think young people are more outward, they're happy to talk about things, even when they might not understand what it is, but they're actually talking. What's your experience on that?
Yeah, definitely. I think I share your perspective there. I think younger people are more open. I don't know if it's linked to the fact that they live in an era of sharing. You know, everything is there. There's social media. There's, people share their stories now, and I think so. That gives me hope. Hope in the sense that people are now aware of their limitations. And that so they're taking it easy, you know, they are taking life one step at a time. So when you know that you can't do everything, then things become easier. Not to say that the older generation were not also savvy of being humans, no, but I understand the context as well, because I think every generation is different because things change, you know, time just changed. Time is not, you know, a constant, really. It just changes. And when it changes, the environment changes, the way people think changes, you know, the tools that were available to them are not the same that are available now. As I say, social media is there. There's TikTok, there's, you know, LinkedIn, there's all sorts. We don't even, you know, name them all. There are so many platforms out there. You can blog, you can do so many things, and, you know, podcasts and radios and TVs that people maybe from different generations could not, you know, did not have available at them, that was not available to them. So, yeah, I'll definitely say that this generation is more open and more talkative than the former one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely makes so much sense. And you look at some sort of like projects coming up, mental health among young people. So I think these projects would only exist because of young people being able to talk, being able to share about experiences. It's still a journey, they're not there yet. There's so much work to be done around people talking, people being able to be open and, explain how they feel or talk to their loved ones, because mental health is one of those invisible illnesses. You can't see it, it's no, you're gonna, you're not gonna have any symptoms of a fever or physical instability, but actually this is something that, kills people within. Yeah, so I really appreciate your insight on this. There will be that, but also, how about we talk about the practicalities of, this whole concept of depression? How do people, what are the practical steps that someone can use, if there's any, steps that people would say, if I feel a certain way, I could do this. I think earlier on in our conversation, you talked about breathing techniques. That's one of them. But is there any other practical steps that people can take, in being able, apply these steps or maybe be aware of them?
Okay, thank you. I think before I answer that question, I just also re remember that I needed to note that, that as I congratulate the younger generation for being talkative and more, being more open. I think I also need to congratulate the older generation because it means that they have contributed because they raised them, you know, they raised them. So maybe they adopted different techniques when they were raising them, and then I'm sure that this generation would do the same. So it's a continuous, improvement there, if you will. In terms of the practical advice question that you just posed. I think I'll say that it's important for people to not be afraid to seek help. Again, I reiterate this point because it's one of the hardest things to do, especially when you've been raised in an African context. I don't know if, you know, maybe it's true also for other for the ethnic minorities, but what I know, or they say now, you know, global majority or ethnic minorities, depending on the perspective anyway. But Yeah, because you're raised to be independent. You know, yes, you're dependent. There's the whole community there, the whole village will look after you. As we say, it takes a village to raise a child, but you're raised to be, you know, great. You're raised to not be weak. So it's very difficult to seek help because somehow you feel like that diminishes your positive perception that, you know, other people have of you. So please be courageous to, you know, seek help. It's the kindest thing you can do to yourself because there are people out there who will listen to you and who will help. You know, and I also said that it's easier said than done, but please find a trusted friend or family member and seek professional help. And also we'll add that it's important to remember that it's a state of mind, you know. Depression is a state of mind. It's an illness and it's definitely not your fault, as you know, I say in one of the chapters of the book, it's not your fault. And together we can go beyond it. Please don't blame yourself. Please don't blame yourself because when you do that, it can spiral, it can take you into a completely different direction and then a very, very dark one as well. And that's not what we want. You know, looking after yourself and seeking help is kind and is courageous. Again, you'll hear me say that a lot. So know yourself and you know, recognize the symptoms as early as possible. But also remember that there are people out there who will listen to you, who will engage with you, who will help you navigate through these challenges, and that one day, you know, things will be better. That would be my advice.
Things will indeed be better. I think I would maybe ask, oh, if this was, you know, one of our starting questions, you know, in terms of breaking down depression, you know, someone who doesn't understand depression, but if we put it in the African context, you know, how would someone identify or even understand they're depressed? What are the things? What are the signs?
Thank you. Yeah. As you said, that could have been the first question because it's so difficult to identify. And even when you do, it's difficult to acknowledge that, you know, that's happening. So you will feel that you start having dark thoughts, you know, you start feeling not good enough, you start feeling physically tired. And it depends. There's postpartum depression, and there are all types of depression. And in my case, I think it was postpartum depression. And you will feel like, you know, some people even think that the world would be better off without them. And that's what we don't want. We don't want to get to that stage. You know, but the moment you start feeling low, the moment you start feeling completely differently, the moment you start feeling that, you know, you are losing some appetite, you're not eating as you used to, and you're not sleeping as you used to sleep, you know, it's, you know, all of that looks like it's just tiredness, right? That's why you need to start speaking with, you know, people around you, and if necessary, go to, you know, and seek medical advice, and then they will ascertain whether you have, you know, mental health issues or whether you just need to rest. You know, they will tell you what you have. The diagnosis is within their hands, but then the moment you start feeling low, you know, too low than normal, too tired than normal, too negative than normal, then it becomes more than just the normal tiredness, you know, it can just maybe depression, but you can only ascertain it if you speak to someone who's, you know, medically aware of it. But please start with someone that you trust and don't be afraid of saying it.
Fantastic. Well, as we coming to the end of our program, how would you, what is your closing remarks? You know, how would you basically wrap this up and, you know, with that strong message to other communities that are tuning in, that are listening to us, that are viewing our program right now, what are the key thoughts?
Thank you, Enoch. I would start by thanking you first for having me again. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I've really enjoyed sharing what I've just shared today with you because I think it's important to talk about mental health. I think it's never enough to talk about it, especially within our communities, because we need to bridge the gaps, we need to break the barriers, and we need to say that it's okay. It's human to feel weak. It's human to not be okay. And there are solutions out there, and there are organizations out there that would help, and that talking to someone can also help. I just wanted to tell the people who are watching this that, I want them to remember that it's okay to remain hopeful and adopt a positive mindset, because challenges are not always permanent. Definitely, they're not always permanent. And as I mentioned in the book, human, please be kind to yourself and know your purpose. Thank you so much. Thank you. And also, Lessons from Depression can be purchased from Amazon or Waterstones for people who are interested. But thank you so much for having me today, Enoch.
No, that's absolutely fine, Zina. It's been a pleasure to have you, and I'm pretty sure as many of our viewers and listeners, these are things that we learn in practical terms. These are things we learn from listening to people like yourself who've been through it, who've gone through it, and as other people would say, you've worn the t-shirt, but you wrote the
Indeed.
book. Okay. That's all we have got time for tonight. Thanks to our guest, Zina Barry, for joining us on tonight's show. And thank you to our listeners and viewers across all our platform, this African Voices platform. Good night and God bless. Thank you.
Thank you. شود بچه دای زرد من، چی شود بچه دای زرد من، نظری برای خدا کنی که اگر کنی اما درد من به یکی
Thank you. ko faso nyemolu faso te jabuko mali te jabuko baralalu mali te jabuko yamana te jabuko moninalu faso te jabuko atte jabuko foli lalu mali ba te jabuko Namma vili mali denu basute se kajo fanga barade
Mali, Mali Mogolo, Alayanson.